It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It is Monday night, 8 o'clock, and we are here. It is time for episode 191 of the Ron and Brian podcast. Brian, how goes it this evening, my friend?
I am getting pixelation. I'm getting technical problems. I think, just so that you're aware, I'm locked in an underground bunker in an undisclosed location in the Berkshire Mountains, which may or may not be where I'm at. Yes, the collar. I am away from home for this week. Want to just give you a heads up that I will be having some type of technical difficulties throughout this episode, but we are going to power through it. We're going to keep going. Just so that you're aware, I am not home.
So you are you safe is the question, is what everybody really wants to know right now.
Well, clearly I'm safe. I just can't talk. I'll blink twice if I'm not safe. But otherwise, I'm doing okay.
All right. Well, then let's get things rolling along here with Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Nazdrovia.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Slanche.
Who's?
Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week.
So, Brian, before you went into your bunker up there in the Berkshires, oh, you did get yourself some alcohol. Looks like some red wine this week. Cabernet Sauvignon.
Ron, I'm working on a Cabernet Sauvignon all the way from Paso Robles, California. This is from Dow Vineyards. And what we're talking here, excuse me, this is made with care, precision. It showcases the depth, the complexity, and the elegance that only can be achieved in Paso Robles. We're drinking a red. You know me. I love my Cabernet. Unfortunately, this is a nice mix, 90% Cabernet, 10% cork, because all I had was a pocket knife to whittle out the cork. So 3/4 of it is bobbing in the inside the bottle. So if you see me gagging or choking at any time, it's because there's a peak of cork stuck in my throat, not the usual when it's cock stuck in my throat. Very different.
No, you can see the difference, but yeah, take a sip there out of your bunker cup. And how is it?
It's a little sharp. I'm not saying that this would be something that I would order when I'm in a fine New York steakhouse. Okay. I believe this has a street value of probably $9.99 a bottle, but I'm going to power through it because it's what I have.
All right. Fair enough. I'm proud.
Ron, what are you drinking?
So I am excited this week, Brian. Went out and got something that is very big on TikTok right now. It is the new Jameson Orange. So this is their Irish whiskey with natural orange flavors, a little lower in alcohol content, only 60 proof compared to the normal 80 proof of Jameson, but really gives you an orange scent when you open up the bottle. Put a little over ice here, so let's see how this goes. So it is, it's not bad straight, but everyone keeps talking about mixing it. So let me grab here a little Sprite people recommended to mix it with.
Sprite?
So let's get a little mix. I guess because of the citrus, you got the lemon lime in the Sprite and the orange. Well, that's pretty goddamn good. I'll be having a few of these tonight. And as we go into After Dark, I'll be doing that.
I'm just surprised as a cis white male that you are taking your beverage recommendations from TikTok.
Well, I think as we all know, for whatever reason, I am now addicted to TikTok.
Yes. Yes, you are. We talked about it for those people who are subscribers to the Patreon. Last week, we discussed in detail Ron's obsession with TikTok catching up to everyone else who got onto it about a year ago. Ron's algorithm is still very much politically and current events centric. Mine is absolutely OnlyFans dancers, strippers, and women in bikinis who are dancing. That seems to be my algorithm. Neither of us are in positions to complain.
No, not at all. But we do, and we will. It's Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
Oh, I'll tell you exactly what's bothering me, Ron. Normal, I have to admit, sometimes it's a little bit of a stretch. Sometimes I really have to dig deep to find something that I would consider a staunch, something that I can honestly say I would put my hand down and say, this is bugging me. This week I have two. Okay. And if it's all right with you, can I use both of them?
You're trapped in a bunker. I would not deny you anything.
First one, I'm going to say, are close talkers in a pandemic.
Sounds reasonable.
All right. As we have discussed previously, I am currently on the road with the hard rock band Life of Agony. I am doing merchandise sales for them, which requires interaction with the general public who have questions about the sizing of different shirts or albums and whatnot, have questions about what is a new item? What's an old item? What sizes are available? And I am amazed at the number of people who, while there is a Omicron wave, which is starting to decrease, nowhere near where it was a month ago, but it's still out there. The number of people who want to lean forward like this and ask me, hey, is that a new t-shirt? Or I saw this band in 1994. I was big. And for every inch they get closer, I have to pull even further away. That I don't understand, and it's bothered me significantly. Did they get close when they? Yes. No credit cards. So that is beef number one. Okay. Close talkers during a pandemic. Beef number two is my irregularity when I'm not home.
Okay.
I left home on Wednesday morning, traveled out to lovely Teaneck, New Jersey. So I've been out, what are we talking here? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. This is my sixth day that I've been out. I think I've pooped twice. One of them was this morning. One was 2 days ago, neither of which, in my humble opinion, is reflective of the amount of food that I've taken in.
Okay. How is your abdomen?
I feel perfectly fine. Okay. It's the fact that I know that there has to be waste that needs to be coming out.
I could see where that'd be a problem.
Now, I will say that I'm not drinking anywhere near as much water as I normally do.
It's important to stay hydrated, Brian, especially in the winter.
Now you go on business trips quite often. How is it that you stay regular when you're not home?
I don't know. I just don't have that issue. I'm overly regular, if you will.
Really? Do you want to talk about it?
It's something between me and my God.
I would love to be a third wheel on that conversation.
I bet you would.
Ron?
Yes.
What's bugging you?
So I'm not quite sure how to explain what's bugging me. So I've joined two new websites recently. No need to make any OnlyFans or porn connotations, Brian. It's not like that. But they are,
XNXX?
They are subscription box based websites. One is for like gadgets and things like that, and the other is for like irregular produce and things like that. And so in order to see what you could potentially get, you have to like sign up and you have to put your credit card down, and they tell you, oh, if you don't want, you know, that month's box, you can just skip it and we won't send it to you. So this first
site, that was a problem in my first marriage. I was just like, I don't want that box. I do not want that box.
So the first site, I signed up like a week ago, and whatever the, it was like a Bluetooth speaker was like the item of the month. And I was like, well, I already have Bluetooth speakers. I don't need to, So I skip it. But the website wouldn't let me skip it. So like I emailed customer service, and I'm like, I don't want this. Like, I'd like to see what next month is, but I don't want this. And they were like, oh, well, we give you between the 1st and the 5th of the month to skip the box. I'm like, yes, but I joined like in the middle of the month. Like, how could I possibly have? They're like, well, we'll take care of it for you this time. And I'm like, well, fuck you this time. I'm like, it's the problem with your website. Like, and so I will not say whether Janelle is right regarding the name of the irregular produce company. I will say she might not be wrong. But again,
I like the Misfits. I'm a big fan of the Misfits. I like them when I was in high school. If you remember, probably about 3 years ago, I was supposed to go to the Hoppy Halloween at Broken Goblet, but I had double booked, and I went to go see the Misfits themselves, Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. Anyway, so again, joined knowing that I really didn't want or need a box of produce this week, but I figured I could just skip it. And so joined and, you know, went in and said skip this week. And so like this morning, it's like, oh, we're prepping your order to ship. I'm like, I don't want to ship it. And of course, they have like no live customer service. So I had to email.
Why would they?
Say, I don't want this box. Still haven't heard anything yet. So I undoubtedly will probably have a box of produce coming that I don't need. And it just seems like if you're going to have a technologically based site, make it so that it can actually like take care of your customers. And if it can't, maybe have some customer service available.
Can I also throw a comment out for you?
You of course can. I value your input.
Why don't you stop signing up for every fucking thing you come across?
I like trying new things, Brian. I like living.
I know that, Ron, but you're getting burned more and more. Just recently, you were doing a clothing-based subscription. In fact, you signed up for not one, but if I remember correctly, you'd signed up for two.
I actually have gotten my second trunk from Nordstrom. They do send some nice clothing.
I'm not saying they don't. What I'm saying is it seems as if there is an emotional void that you are looking to fill in the form of retail therapy.
I'm just more looking to be able to shop without having to go out and interact with people.
By buying bad produce?
Well, not bad produce, irregular produce. Misshapen produce. Produce that doesn't look sexy, Brian, so they don't send it to the stores.
Now, Ron, if your colon was irregular, you would certainly be concerned and you would throw it out. If you had an irregular heartbeat, you would be going to a doctor.
I don't know if you can throw your colon out, though.
No, but I'm sure there's a couple snips and some shavings that a doctor could do. Why you believe that when it comes to, a piece of potato or maybe a zucchini,
colon shaving,
or perhaps an eggplant, sweet potato. This time's gotta stop.
Oh, I know. You just want me to play your favorite tune. Speaking of which, we'll get right into the show now. Eric Clapton made the news again. He went on the Real Music Observer YouTube channel to talk about how his life has changed since took AstraZeneca's vaccine back in 2021. He claims that he was duped into getting the COVID-19 vaccine by subliminal messaging in pharmaceutical advertising. Oof. Yes, it's clearly much harder to cancel an unused parking spot, but a very good throwback there by William Esquire. Anyway, Eric Clapton said there's subliminal messaging and pharmaceutical advertising, urged others not to fall for it. He is referring to the mass formation hypnosis conspiracy theory, which gained traction in 2021 as part of anti-vaccine propaganda. The theory essentially points to a sort of mind control that has taken over society.
Run that by me again.
So he is saying that that everyone is getting this vaccine because we've all been hypnotized by subliminal advertising.
And how is that different than the other side saying that he's been hypnotized by the anti-vaxxers?
I mean, because it's his side.
Gotta love Eric Clapton.
You do.
Shut up.
This time's gotta stop.
It is, it's catchy. That's the thing I hate is he can write a catchy tune without a doubt.
Yeah, but if I remember correctly, it was really a bad song. It sounded like it was just slapped together. Well, but that
just this part.
But this time's gotta stop.
Or maybe I like it because it really is a good way to catch you off.
I think it's an incredible way of shutting me up.
So speaking of vaccines, the update today about Moderna, the gold standard. Received
the gold standard
FDA approval. So previously it had just been Pfizer that had full FDA approval. Mm-hmm. Finally the FDA came out today giving that to Moderna, which we have known for a long time that Moderna is the gold standard. And that's what you should get. It's how you fight Omicron, Delta. What's the new one? There was a new variant that was kicking around. Was it the stealth variant? They said not to worry about it, though.
I have no idea.
Yes, stealth.
Oh, no. Wasn't it Flurona?
No, Flurona was the combination of Corona and flu, but now there is a stealth Omicron variant. Apparently, there is no cause for alarm, but it could slow down the decline in case numbers.
I'm tired of people trying to make me nervous. Trying to make me afraid.
So what is interesting, though, and what I don't get is they call it stealth Omicron because they can't potentially tell that it's Omicron. It looks like it might be Delta. But why does it matter, I guess, what kind of variant if it's just...
Well, I think the symptoms of Delta are significantly more severe than the symptoms of Omicron.
Are they, though? I've heard mixed things about that.
Well, I mean, it depends, where are you getting your information from? I mean, are you a victim to the mass hypnosis hysteria?
I mean,
are you watching OAN?
I'm big into Newsmax. I go on the dark web. I get a lot of my information there, as do you.
I do all my research on Facebook with forewords from my Aunt Helene.
I go on the Boomer web and see what are people saying.
Aunt Helene prints out her memes, so I know that she's got to keep it real.
This was an interesting story out in Amityville, New York. Two nurses on Long Island are accused of forging COVID-19 vaccine cards and pocketing more than $1.5 million from the scheme, which is insane that they were able to make that much money.
It also tells you the demand for fake vaccination cards on Long Island.
Oh,
I mean, we have said it multiple times that Long Island is a cesspool of humanity. The further away you get from the Hamptons, the further away you get from Queens, that it is a bell curve of disgustingness. Actually, the Hamptons are pretty gross too. Have you ever been to the Hamptons?
I've not been to the Hamptons. Have you?
Me? No. It doesn't appeal to me. Never did. But Long Island just seemed, I've always had this theory that something is wrong, there's something disturbing to people when they're trapped on an island.
You think
something affects their psyche when they don't leave the island, when they're on an island and they don't leave it. It happens. So the fact that there is a $1.5 million in Long Island of funds that people have to purchase fake vax cards is just wild to me.
This involves Julie DeVuono, the owner of Wild Child Pediatric Healthcare in Amityville, and her employee, Marissa Araro. They are both charged with felony forgery, and DeVuono is also charged with offering a false instrument for filing.
Now, what I find absolutely incredible is that when I read this story and put it on our shared Google Doc, I thought they were nuns, not nurses. So I literally had a bunch of lines prepared to talk about nuns who are anti-vax. But now I read that they were Long Island nurses, and suddenly the story makes way more sense to me.
It does, yes. So they apparently were charging $220 for adults, $85 for children. DeVuono and Uraro would enter the false information into the state's immunization database. Law enforcement officers searched DeVuono's home and said they seized about $900,000 in cash and a ledger showing profits of more than $1.5 million. Which started back in November. So that's some pretty good turnaround. I mean,
that implies that there's $0.6 million that's missing.
Somewhere they spent $600,000.
Right?
I'm just like, where would you, I don't know where I would keep $900,000 in cash in my house. I just don't know. Is there $900,000 in your bunker?
No, there's not even 900 in my bunker. Oof. But what happened to the 0.6 that's missing?
I mean, maybe they invested it, maybe they washed it. You gotta get, I would think for that you would need a money launderer for that kind of cash. Like, you just can't go deposit.
I would imagine, sure.
You can't deposit 600.
I imagine that there's a bagel. Yeah, there's got to be a bagel shop in Massapequa that has reported some wild sales over the past couple months.
Maybe Ronkonkoma. Maybe they got over there and put some money in. I'm just there.
Very possible. Very possible. Very possible.
This is a sad story. A California mother of three died of COVID-19 after she was denied a vaccine and then also denied monoclonal antibody treatment because she had multiple sclerosis. This involves Nerissa Regnier, age 45, a real estate agent from Mission Viejo, California, died December 16th after allegedly being refused the vaccine despite asking for one seven times within 6 months, according to her family. She then was denied monoclonal antibody treatment after contracting COVID. And so her family's attorneys are announcing plans to file a wrongful death lawsuit against her healthcare provider, Kaiser Permanente.
That sounds like Kaiser Permanente sounds like the villain in a James Bond movie.
Kaiser Permanente wants you dead.
Yes.
Wasn't that?
No, Mr. Bond, I don't want you injured. I want you dead.
Wasn't that the bad guy in the Usual Suspects, Kaiser Permanente?
No, that was Kaiser Soze.
Oh, you could see
Kaiser Soze.
So apparently back in February, she was placed on a new drug regimen for MS, which suppressed her immune system. But when she inquired about getting the COVID-19 vaccine, she was denied because it supposedly contained a live virus. However, that is not true. So she had asked again in August about getting inoculated. By the time that she finally got over to get the COVID vaccine, she was feeling symptoms. They tested her, and she had contracted COVID. She was then given antibiotics, which was not good for someone in her condition, as well as steroids, and then denied monoclonal antibody treatment. Her husband got her discharged from Kaiser's hospital, took her to another hospital to try and get the treatment done, where she was told it was too late.
That's a shame.
It's a very sad story. So she leaves behind a husband and three kids. And again, her family will be filing a lawsuit for wrongful death moving forward.
Now, what's your thoughts on that? Do you think they have a legitimate case?
If they can prove, and again, this is going to be the tough part, if the family can prove that she had asked for the vaccine and was denied multiple times, I'm going to say that they have a potential of a decent case.
Okay. I agree with you.
Canada's sexiest man and prime minister, Justin Trudeau, tested positive for COVID-19 the other day. This was after it was announced that this past Saturday he was reportedly moved to a secret location after thousands of protesters descended on the country's capital to decry COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Again, we kind of keep going back and forth about these anti-vax protests. Now, obviously, the prime minister is so concerned that he went into hiding during it.
What's with the convoys? I've heard there's something about freedom convoys.
So apparently there is a...
And I don't... When I hear convoy, I think of a Burt Reynolds movie.
Right.
With Dom DeLuise as his sidekick pulling the horn.
Yeah.
Maybe there's an orangutan somehow involved. Sally Field. Freshening up.
I think that was Every Which Way But Loose. You're confusing there.
You know, I heard that was true about Sally Field. I heard she was very loose. Just a rumor. I believe it was from the same place as the comments about Nancy Reagan being a throat goat.
We never ever got into that story. And it's probably a good thing.
What was there to get into?
The Nancy Reagan story, it really blew up. Because she was
basically, according to the story, she was basically like the favored mouth on the Hollywood lots before Ronald Reagan got his hands on her.
That's a lot to unpack, Brian, and I don't know that we necessarily want to do that. Well, maybe we'll do that after dark, because that's really what After Dark is for.
Can I get a...
You want to pay money for this scroll? Okay, that's fine.
75 cents. Ladies and gentlemen, let me mention our Patreon. Every week after this podcast, Ron and I set aside, I would say maybe sometimes 30 or 40 minutes of material that is just not YouTube ready. It's not for the masses. It's not for Spotify. It would make Spotify nervous. YouTube has already banned one of our episodes that we thought was okay.
Right.
So what we do is we save the stuff for the Patreon. We call it After Dark. It's when things get a little sexy, a little spicy, a little saucy, a little salamander.
But this time's gotta stop.
Anyway.
So the idea...
I was going to say, you could just go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. In the upper right-hand corner, just click on Become a Patron. If you join at the bronze level or higher, you can join us for the live After Dark, which will take place at 9:30. And it is the last episode. So it is our pajama party tonight, isn't it?
No. You and I agreed we're going to do it next week when I'm back home.
Oh, fair enough. All right. Normally it'd be the last end of the month, but we will do this next. So people get two. So if you join now, you get two. Two pajama parties.
Ron.
That's a value.
Ron, tell them what a pajama party is while you take a sip of your TikTok drink.
So this is where we share the link. We have our Patreon subscribers come on and they join us. They are part of the show. Will we be doing Can You Beat Ron next week?
Of course. I actually had a great idea for it. I'm going to get some people's thoughts who are not part of the show and see what their thoughts are.
So anyway,
only hesitation,
yes,
is that it's also food related.
And it didn't work.
And we did a Thanksgiving one.
Right.
It did work very well. You won. But I have another one, which I think is a very good idea, but it's also food related. Not sure if we're overkilling it.
All right. Well, anyway, it is Can You Beat Ron? We have some sort of trivia contest where you can come on, you can attempt to beat me. No one has done it.
No.
I'm undefeated. If you can defeat me, we will donate, what, $25, was it?
$25 to the charity of your choice.
So we will have, and again, Brian will not discuss the category or the contest with me. He may reach out to, as he said, some listeners or people unconnected with the show. But I will get the information at the same time our Patreon followers do.
Yes. Yes. And didn't I screw it up last time?
I think so.
I think the last slide, I already put the answer in. I think I remember.
Put the answer right in, but that's all right. The game was pretty much done with it by then. But you would ask about the convoy, Brian. There was a convoy.
It does. Hold on. Janelle says that it's her birthday month, so she should win by default. And I don't agree with that. I think you got to win on the honor system.
Is February her birthday month, or is February her birthday month?
I think February is her birthday month.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't think anybody just gets a gimme. I mean, there are certain things you can get, but can you beat Ron? That is holy.
We hold it sacred, and as such,
that we do.
Yeah. Anyway, Brian, you were asking about the convoy. So yes, for some reason there was a convoy of Canadian truckers and their supporters that had rolled into Ottawa Saturday to protest. The so-called Freedom Convoy started as a protest against a vaccine requirement for cross-border truckers, but grew into a mass demonstration against the Canadian government over other coronavirus regulations. A reported 2,700 trucks rolled through Ottawa as part of the protest.
Now, I have a question, Ron. Do we care about these people? Like, why should we care about truckers and average citizens just wasting gasoline?
I mean, I guess, again, if it is...
Because it sounds like the sultans in Saudi Arabia and the crown prince of Dubai are celebrating the fact that all this fossil fuel is being spent.
I mean, I guess in a way, you know, they are making money off of this. But there is now, as we have often talked about, there is now a large number of these truck drivers in Canada that have died of COVID. Jim Benj, age 59, died January 23rd. Patrick Mehmet, age 58, died January 24th. Howard Farley, age 61, died January 15th. It just kind of goes on and on and on. Oh, there's a lot on this list. So again, it just kind of goes to show you, if you don't get the
vaccine. So are they driving to promote vaccine safety, or what are they driving to remember the loss of their friends?
They are anti-vaxxers, and so they are against the vaccine mandates.
So their friends that are dying, instead of, they're not honoring them, they're trying to fight so that they can join them.
Apparently. That's what it would seem.
Okay. I mean, I just want to make sure I understand the story.
This would seem to be a good time, Brian, to get into Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Brian, who do you bring to the table for your Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week?
Do we have a photo of Stephen Wayne Treadwell?
Why, we do, as a matter of fact.
All right. First off, let's discuss the hair. What's going on? The eyes. Why aren't they properly open? Does he have some kind of allergy thing going on that's just causing some puffiness around them to keeping? Is there a chip in the teeth right here? I don't understand. But that's not what we're here for. He looks like he was a high school wrestler. Do we agree? Can we agree on that?
I'd go with that.
I mean, that neck, just, I mean, like, I mean, let's put it this way. There is no way that he would be able to do the top button on this shirt. Can we agree upon that?
I think we can agree with that, yes.
However, I believe it's possible now because he passed away recently on January 23rd, which was just about a week ago. Now, his story is all the more tragic because his twin sister, Jane Treadwell, who we don't have a picture of, but from my understanding, her neck was just as thick as Wayne's. She was a nurse in Alabama, and she also passed away of COVID in September 21. Both Jane and Wayne, so they were Jane and Wayne? Is that like, did they have a Vegas that was a Freudian slip. Did they have a lounge act going on? Were they ever in, what's that town in Missouri where they have all the shows?
Branson,
yes, Branson. Branson, Missouri,
Anyway, so
Wayne, Ron?
Yes.
I believe I'm talking about Wayne.
My apologies.
Don't rush me. This man deserves the amount of time we're talking about. So Wayne Treadwell, his sister passes away September 21 of COVID. She was a nurse and a professor as well. However, she did not see any benefits of getting the COVID vaccine. She was a loud anti-vaxxer, caught the virus, and passed away. At the same time, Wayne spent the last 6 months of 2021 actively posting anti-vaccine memes on his Facebook page, on his Twitter page, where he was just a loud pro-Trumper, anti-Fauci, loved to go. I mean, let's be honest, this man posted memes. I mean, like, he wasn't throwing his own individual thoughts. He was just like, is this a meme that fits within my worldview? Yes. Well, copy and paste, I'm going to spread it to the world. Well, one thing also that he spread was COVID, because Wayne caught the virus in earlier in January, passing away on in late January of 2022. Wayne, unfortunately, did not survive the virus, passed away. And, you know, if there's any good that can come out of this, he said, I hope he is with his sister. Driving in a watching over a convoy of truckers as they drive through Canada.
Family reunion of sorts, if you will. Well, Brian, I would like to bring to the table former Washington State Patrol officer Robert LeMay, who lost his job towards the end of last year because he defied a statewide vaccine mandate. And not only do we have a photo of him, we actually have a little video of him here, which
really
is his last sign off on the job.
This is gonna kill my internet connection. Go.
After he lost his job because he did not get the vaccine. Let's see if we can get this up here.
Final sign off
whenever you're ready.
After 22 years of serving the citizens of the state of Washington, being asked to leave because I am dirty. Numerous fatalities, injuries. I've worked sick. I've played sick. We've buried lots of friends over these years. I'd like to thank you guys. I'd like to thank the citizens of Yakima County, as well as my fellow officers within the valley. Without you guys, I wouldn't have been very successful, and you've kept me safe and got me home to my family every night. Thank you for that. Wish I could say more, but this is it. So State 1034, this is the last time you'll hear me in a State Patrol car. And Jay Inslee can kiss my ass.
So that was him telling the governor.
I saw this video. Saw this video when he quit.
Oh, this this went extremely viral.
And I lost my internet
connection. He became a darling of the conservative
news stations. Still recording.
He was on Fox News. He was on OWN. He was on Newsmax. So yeah, apparently earlier this month, rumors started to go around that he had contracted COVID and was hospitalized from it. His family and the people around him tried to keep that information out of the news, obviously not very on brand. His Facebook page was deleted, but people were confirming that he was in the hospital on a respirator, passing away a couple of days ago, dying from COVID-19 at the age of 51.
So fucking sad. So absolutely sad. For somebody to sit there and, proudly hold their head up high and pat themselves on the back for not being vaccinated, for talking about the wrongness of mandates. And keep in mind, I don't agree with the mandates and whatnot. But for someone to sit there and talk so high and mighty about themselves because, they will not do anything to stop and prevent themselves from the virus. And then when they catch it, they die. Absolutely just a shame. Absolutely a shame.
Now, we do have another first here on Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week. We have a couple of people that we are now putting on our Dead Anti-Vaxxer watch list because we feel that we'll probably be seeing them on this segment sometime in the near future. This first one here is Chad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He is a North Carolina man who desperately needs a new kidney. He is rejecting a transplant because the coronavirus vaccine is required. Quote, I was born free. I will die free. I'm not changing my mind. I've had conversations with my family and everyone who is close to me, and they know where I stand, and there will not be a situation that occurs where I'll change my mind on this topic. The hospital he's in, Atrium Health Wake Forest Baptist, requires the vaccine for anyone on a transplant list because those patients would be vulnerable to severe disease or death if they were infected after the operation, which means that the organ would go to waste. Also, a little side information, Chad Carswell, a double amputee due to his medical condition. So he is trusted.
Hopefully not to this point. Hopefully his hands are not the body parts that have been amputated, because then he would absolutely miss out on all those brisket sandwiches that he is putting away three at a time.
And then one more on our watch.
Oh, no. Hold on a second. That's unfair. I mean, we don't do fat shaming on this. Janelle referring to him as a great hill.
Wow.
I mean, come on. You got to be better than, we don't believe in it. Don't fat shame here. I don't appreciate that.
Cool. Now, this person here, this is DJ Ferguson. He is a 30.
From the looks of it, Ron, from the looks of it, he's not DJing any parties anytime soon.
He is a 31-year-old. He is up in a Boston hospital, and he has been removed from the heart transplant list because of his refusal to get the COVID-19 vaccine. His family says that he was first on the list to receive the transplant at Brigham and Women's Hospital, but is no longer eligible because of his vaccination status. Again, he's got a wife and two kids, and his wife is currently pregnant with their third child. But he is there was some word that he might change his mind and get the vaccine to get back on the heart transplant list. But as of today, he is continuing to not get the vaccine and continuing to not be on the list to receive a heart transplant. So we have them on our watch list for Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Brian, I feel we need to lighten the mood a little bit because we've had a lot of this this COVID stuff going on. Real quick, Brian. Yes, you've taken a time out.
I was hoping we could spend a few moments talking about your experience recently at Broken Goblet.
Ah, well, yes, you alluded to the fact that you have been on the road with Life of Agony on their Northeast tour. And yes, I went out to Broken Goblet Brewing in Bensalem this past Friday night. Brian, you were there. We got to hang out. And we got to see a great show headlined by Life of Agony with openers Kings Never Die and Dog Eat Dog. Brave to the elements, drove through the snowstorm to see some music and to hang with you. Good time. Great show. Again, Broken Goblet, one of the better music venues in the greater Philadelphia area. Recently voted for the third year in a row by the followers of Breweries and PA Facebook page as the best music venue of all breweries in the state of Pennsylvania. Brian, how did you like the show?
I thought it was great. I thought it was amazing. It was actually the best visually, it was the best visual show of the tour so far. I thought they did a great light show. I thought it was a great compliment to the music that was that LOA did. First off, yeah, I absolutely love Broken Goblet. I did notice that you were treated as a VIP, and I was very proud of Broken Goblet to have arranged that.
We got preferred seating, some free beverages. I mean, it was a good evening. I don't think you could describe it any other way.
Yeah, I mean, when I got there, I mentioned to them that Ron of the Ron and Brian podcast would be attending the concert, and they said, Ron? And I said, yeah, and they're like, but not Brian. I was just like, no. Ron and his entourage will be showing up for the show. And they're like, okay, we need to make sure that we hook him up. And they did.
And he did. It was a good time. Brian, real quick, I'm kind of curious about something. What are you watching?
Oh, absolutely nothing. I have not watched a damn thing. I mean, I finished season 5 of The Sopranos.
Okay.
So I am season 6A and B away from finishing it. But otherwise, I have not had any the opportunity to watch anything. I mean, there's so many things that have come out recently that I wanted to watch. There's a new Ozark season, which I'm very excited to get it to knock out when I get off the road. Which will be on Sunday. This coming Sunday, so I'll be out for a couple
I will
tell
you, days. I have watched, and it's the first half season. There's only 7 episodes.
Whoa, so this isn't the whole thing?
It's not the whole thing. This is the final season of Ozark, but only the first 7 episodes are up.
Okay, okay.
I like Ozark, but it seems to fall into like a very predictable premise. Like, all right, here's the scheme we need to have work. Oh no, the scheme didn't work, so now we need to try and save our lives. Oh, okay, we saved our lives, but now that got us involved in another. So it's a lot of that again. But again, it's really well written, well acted. There's some surprises, there's some things you expect, but they do leave you with a bit of a cliffhanger in the middle of the season.
I feel like that show peaked either at the end of season 1 or at some point in season 2.
I would agree.
It's incredible. They have absolutely mastered keeping, figuring out ways to keep the stakes incredibly high, to keep a sense of anxiety while watching it absolutely high. But like you said, it does feel, it reaches a certain point where it becomes fantastical.
Right.
You know, without giving away any spoilers from previous seasons. But I mean, the premise of the story is that this guy who is a money launderer for a Mexican cartel somehow gets deeper involved. And he goes from figuring out small ways to launder money to within season 2, I think he's running a bar in the middle of the Ozarks, which is where, like Tennessee kind of thing?
Missouri? I'm not quite sure.
Couldn't tell you. This show does not support the South. But season 3, he's running like a riverboat casino. Season 4, his wife is, she's running a political action committee to get like senators elect. Like, it just becomes fantastical in ways that become really hard to believe are reasonable.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But again, it's still, you know, it's... it's watchable. I mean, I'm still enjoying
it.
I will watch the second half of the final season whenever that comes out.
Sure. What else? What else are you watching?
I started watching on Netflix. All of Us Are Dead. This is a South Korean series about a zombie apocalypse that takes place at a high school, and it follows the remaining students trying to find a way to stay alive with a campus full of zombies. Not bad.
You said this is South Korean?
South Korean show, yes. So I'm.
So there's. Hold on. Are you telling me there are South Korean high school girls?
Yes, there are, actually.
What's the name of this show again?
All of Us Are Dead. Write that down. I'm putting it in the book.
Hold on. You said All of Us Are Dead?
Yes.
And that's on Netflix?
That is on Netflix. A lot of time for just to be aware of it.
I want to make sure I got all. I needed to get everything correctly. Now, are they wearing the standard Asian schoolgirl dresses?
They are wearing. They're in schoolgirl uniform. Yes.
Now, is that where can one see that show?
On Netflix.
Okay. Thank you very much. Hold on. Let me see. You know, one of the benefits of staying in hotels is you get those little complimentary little bottles of lotion, which I call single load.
This time's gotta stop.
I felt like you were going someplace. And then one last thing I watched, which is going to sound very boring, but it was a very interesting documentary. It's called The Alpinist. It actually came out in 2020 in the movie theaters. It's just new on Netflix. So it is the story of a guy by the name of Marc-André Leclerc. He is a Canadian climber and alpinist who became well known for his solo ascents of dangerous peaks around the world, often in winter. This guy, he was 22, 23 years old when they did this documentary, and he would climb, you know, these huge mountains just solo with no ropes.
Yeah.
I mean, and
now, all joking aside, what's the name of this thing?
It's called The Alpinist.
Because I love this stuff. I got addicted to Alpinist. Here, I got it.
Yeah.
I got addicted to reading and being exposed to stories about Mount Everest when there was I think it was in the mid-90s. That year when they had the tragedy up on the, at the peak, where about a dozen people died in one day. Right. So I have read books about high altitude climbs. I've watched documentaries. I have fantasized about going to base camp on Mount Everest. I'm not climbing, so there's no way I would actually go vertical, but... that stuff I find absolutely fascinating.
And this was filmed very well. Obviously, a lot of the people who filmed it were climbers, so they're able to go along on some of the climbs. A lot of drone footage.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of heights, and like it literally like would make me a little queasy to see some of these climbs.
Of course.
And how high above the ground he was.
Yes.
With no. No support, no ropes, no
sure.
safety whatsoever. So I recommend
the ideas in so many ways. You're watching this guy drive a nail into ice,
right?
Because at that point, I mean, you're not even on the mountain; you're just on ice hanging off that's attached to the mountain. He's driving a nail into it, connecting to like a piece of rope.
Oh, no rope! He's got hooks that he just on long handles, and he would just put the hook through the ice. Pull himself up.
Oh.
The other, and like there's literally one shot. You talk about the ice. There's one shot where they get it, so where you can see the ice is just from water running off the edge of the mountain. So the ice is about this thick, and then you can see the gap between the ice and the mountain. So he's literally hanging off of ice that is maybe like 3 or 4 inches wide.
And that could break.
And that could break
off.
And that's what he's hanging on.
Ooh.
Yeah, very intense. So if you're into it, I think you'll enjoy it. Only like an hour and a half. It's not like a long movie to sit through.
Okay, Okay, you made some suggestions. You made some recommendations. Yep. Now, based on what you know about me, if I had to pick one thing to watch, The Alpinist.
Okay.
Were the Korean school girls fighting off zombies?
I would go with The Alpinist.
Now, in The Alpinist, how many Korean schoolgirls are there running around in school uniforms?
I mean, I didn't notice any, but that doesn't mean that they're maybe worn in the background that I didn't see.
Did you notice them while watching the We Will Sell Our Underwear in Vending Machines Throughout Tokyo?
Yes, that was very noticeable.
I think I'm going to go with that one.
All right.
I think this wine is starting to kick in, my friend.
It might be. Brent, I also understand that you, being the investor that you are, you're now involved in crypto.
I own crypto. Earlier this past weekend, I invested $750 into Ethereum. Are you familiar with Ethereum?
I know it is a cryptocurrency. That's all I can tell you.
It is the second most popular, not popular, because I believe Dogecoin might be more popular, but it's the second most valuable in terms of net worth cryptocurrency after Bitcoin. So earlier this weekend, I invested $750 using an app on my phone. I put $750 into crypto, and I purchased Ethereum. Now, there was an $11 fee that went along with it, which I'm not a fan of. You know me, Ron, and it might be the Jewish. Could be, but I don't like paying fees. I see that as throwing money out the window. The way it was described to me is that if you had to wire money from one bank to another, you pay a fee. But I don't like doing that.
No, you're not a fan.
So I sent $750. I spent $11 on a fee. So my Ethereum, as soon as I purchased it, was worth $739. Are you doing math?
I'm running the numbers as we speak.
That Ethereum, as of right now, the 739 that I purchased, is now worth $766. Now, keep in mind, I placed this order yesterday afternoon. This is not good for me.
So you've already
mentally, and I'll tell you why, because
and you're ahead of the game.
I made my $11 fee, and now I'm up $16. This is where it gets dangerous.
All right.
Is that the stock market opens up at 9:30. It closes at 4. There's after hours, which I believe runs for like an hour or so.
A couple hours. Well,
there's the pre-market.
Right.
There's a pre-market trading that takes place from what, like 8 a.m. to 9?
Yeah, 7:30 or it depends on the platform. Some go as early as 4 a.m.
Ron, cryptocurrency exchanges are 24/7. So I can go to bed having a value of my crypto and I can wake up and it's different.
So it could be up. Like you could be like at like $800. But conversely, you could wake up and you could be at $400.
Yes. So like at some point today, my crypto was worth probably about $720.
See, this is
now it's at like the swings are wild.
It's surprising to me that you would get into this because I have seen the nausea, the white knuckled panic that a $25 blackjack table at Atlantic City does to you.
No, actually, in hindsight, that $25 table in Atlantic City is nothing compared to a 6 cents per share purchase of LTNC.
Very true.
When I was buying them by thousands at a time. Tens of thousands, if you would.
Very true.
But we're anywho, talking. No. I will tell you exactly what it is. I am going to get into the NFT market. Last week, or was it 2 weeks on the show, we had Alan Robert. 2 weeks ago on the show, we had Alan Robert from the band Life of Agony, who was talking about his NFT project, Monster Chompers. Just so you're aware, on the tour bus, I sit next to him. So we've spent a lot of time talking about Monster Chompers. I have learned a lot about NFTs. He actually was explaining to me a lot about the Ozzy Osbourne NFT that recently was put out that sold out in 40 seconds.
Wow.
And a $350 NFT that could have been purchased is now going for over $2,000. And they look terrible for those that made it, for those that made those purchases. Compared to Al's Monster Chompers, the Aussie bats look absolutely trash. So I will be with, before the, we have episode 192, I will be purchasing my first NFT, which we will gladly reveal next week on the show.
All right. I look. Now, if you
Brian is getting into NFTs.
Couldn't someone just
beg your pardon?
Couldn't someone just like right click the screen and steal that NFT on you if you show it?
Okay. See, this is the beauty of it. Yes. They can put it on their phone. They can make it their screensaver. They can print it up on a greeting card and send it to their friends. But within the blockchain, within the crypto world, they don't own it, and I will be able to prove that I own it.
All right, fair enough.
So the thing is the fact that you're not buying it for exclusivity purposes. You're buying it for the ability to say that you are the rightful owner of it.
Well, I look forward to seeing which one you end up with, because it is, you don't necessarily, if I remember, you don't get to pick. You just buy
an
NFT and you get one at random, and it could, the rarity of it could range from, you know, it being very, very common to being extremely rare.
Correct. Now, there are NFT projects that are out there where there is no such thing as a rarity, where all of them are equally one of a kind, or there are even NFTs where they're not one of a kind, where there are multiple, where they're going to have seven of NFTs that look exactly the same, but you own one of seven, much like LTNC shares, where you own 100,000 of 84 billion. You know, that doesn't necessarily make you sit there and say, well, then who needs these shares?
Mm-hmm.
But with Al's project, there are aspects of each NFT that are random generated. There's probably, I think, 6 to 8 different areas where the NFT will differ, and each one has differing levels of commonality. So that is what makes different ones going to be very rare versus somewhat rare. I'm doing it. I'm getting into the NFT space. Ron, you and I, we're going to have an interesting show next week.
All right. Sounds good.
I'm not saying I'm going to broadcast from my new home in the Hamptons.
No, not yet.
After becoming a millionaire and retiring from my day job, I'm just saying that I will be in the metaverse.
All right. We lost some people this week. It's time for celebrity obituaries. First, former Miss USA Chesley Christ passing away after leaping to her death from a midtown high-rise Sunday in New York City. She was.
Now, I heard her last job was a bouncer.
So wrong. So very wrong. She was a lawyer. She was also the 2019 pageant winner of Miss USA. Jumped from her luxury 60-story Orion building at 350 West 42nd Street around 7:15 a.m. and was found dead in the street below.
Didn't bounce.
Probably not.
Now, what I find really interesting is the media, and when I say the media, I mean the New York Post, because that's the only form of media that I like to research while preparing this podcast.
Of course.
The New York Post has already jumped to this being a death that is a result of online bullying.
Is that what
because about a year ago, she wrote an essay on the struggles of being a beauty pageant winner post beauty pageants.
She did, yes.
And the struggles that she goes through with online comments about her as she tried to transition away from the pageant world into a professional space. I think she was on Extra. I think she tried to be a correspondent on Extra. It was, you know, some of the mental and emotional struggles she went through making that transition and responding to a lot of comments that she saw online where people would make nasty comments about her her physical appearance, you know, the changes in her body, how she wasn't as beautiful as she was before, or other stupid comments like that. And what I find interesting is the fact that somehow the New York Post can take an essay that she wrote over a year ago and automatically assume that's the reason why she jumped out of her apartment window to her death in Manhattan.
Well, we will keep an eye.
Nobody knows, unless she wrote a letter that very moment right before she jumped, nobody will know why she jumped. Like, it's very possible that she did a quick Google search and asked, will Brian have stable Wi-Fi for episode 191? And got the answer of no. Brian will have very unstable Wi-Fi. We'll have to log off multiple times because every time Ron plays a video or a sound effect, it all freezes and Brian just has to give up and log back in. I mean, when she heard that, that could have been the thing that pushed her over the edge, figuratively and literally.
All right. Also, Moses J. Mosley, he was known mostly for having played one of Michonne's zombies in The Walking Dead, dying at the age of 31. Again, police investigating this right now as a possible suicide. It was found dead via gunshot wound. But again, early reports are they are investigating it as a suicide. He was also did some bit parts in The Watchmen on HBO and was also in The Hunger Games Catching Fire back in 2013. But the biggest death of the week was actor Howard Hessman, formerly Dr. Johnny Fever on the TV comedy WKRP in Cincinnati back in the early 80s. Passing away at the age of 81 from complications from colon surgery last summer. Brian, you were
whoa.
I remember.
Listen, if you are going to make a Howard Hessman reference in terms of his IMDb, in terms of his career, and not make a reference to his role as an FBI agent in the movie Clue, I'm going to say you're missing the bigger picture in who he was.
See, now I would have gone more with me personally. He was Terry Ladd in This Is Spinal Tap. Let's not forget his.
Oh, he played the manager.
He played the manager of the other band in Spinal Tap. That was a classic as well.
That's actually true. I forgot he was in This Is Spinal Tap.
He was in Dr. Detroit.
Oh, I totally forgot that.
One of my favorite early 80s Dan Aykroyd movies.
Don't forget his 1985 appearance on Murder, She Wrote as Sheldon Greenberg.
Also in Police Academy 2, he had a bit part in that. But a huge acting, a lot of TV shows, lots of movies. But yes, best known.
Never forget his 16 episodes during the run of One Day at a Time as Sam Royer.
So apparently, and I didn't realize this, there was a new WKRP in Cincinnati in the early 90s. When did this happen? There was 10 episodes. He played Dr. Johnny Fever on 10 episodes of it.
He must have been like Ron Jeremy trying to get laid by the young new porn stars in that, because there's no way that Howard Hessman was going to pull that off. I mean, also, let's not forget his, when he played David in the TV movie On the Second Day of Christmas. I mean, that was just, that was Emmy category.
Was that Hallmark, that one?
Probably. He was also in an episode of Crossing Jordan, where he played Barney Reynolds.
Mm, very nice.
He was in the movie About Schmidt with Jack Nicholson, where he played Larry Herzl. I feel like he played a lot of Jews.
I guess. I mean, you would know better.
Like he was in one episode of the TV series Oliver Bean, where he played Dr. Fenniger.
Not aware of that one. He was in the TV show Head of the
He Clock, was in the movie
yes. late '80s.
He was in Halloween 2, the Rob Zombie movie, where he played Uncle Meat.
That I don't remember. He must have been in some heavy makeup then.
I would imagine he did one episode of Mike and Molly, where he played Otis Jewboy.
It's a very interesting that they're able to get that name in the show. I mean, again, that was the early 2010s, but even still, it seems inappropriate. We will miss Howard Hessman, again, passing away at the age of 81.
Yes.
Hopefully, we won't miss any of you after dark. Remember, if you want to hop on and become a Patreon member, we will get you the link. It's going to start in about 20 minutes.
Yes.
Ron's level or higher, just 10 bucks a month. Really nothing to it. Go to ronandbrianpodcast.com.
Two cups of coffee a month.
Exactly. Skip your avocado toast one day. Skip your pistachio latte in the next, and you've got enough money to cover your Patreon for the month.
And it supports the show. Show is not free. One of the things that Ron and I just, decided when we were doing this podcast was that we said it's always going to be free. This is something that we are always going to do for everyone. We are never going to charge for the podcast. However, there are costs associated with it. So one of the ways that we can help offset some of those costs, we do a Patreon. Not a lot of money. We're not looking to get rich. We're not looking to pay our bills off of this. But we are, if you want to help out, if you want to say, hey, listen, I love the podcast. I love the content you do. But how can I help? This is how you do it. You join our Patreon, ronandbrianpodcast.com. Click the link in the upper right-hand corner. Become a Patreon at $10 or higher level a month, and it helps some of the costs that Ron and I incur on a weekly, monthly, and or yearly basis. Brings you we've had some great content in Patreon.
Yeah.
Some great stuff.
But this podcast. This one will remain free.
Always.
We're not going to be like.
Always. Well, that is.
We're not going to take a seven-figure payout from New York Times to eventually disappear behind a paywall. We will keep this
correct
free for you all moving forward.
And because we don't want to get wrapped up into the Spotify Neil Young debate that is going on in the podcast space right now, we're going to save our analysis of that for the Patreon. So it's not going out on the podcast. People will not know our thoughts on it. Where we stand, how we are, maybe affected by this. I mean, certainly, some of the rules that Spotify announced, send chills through the podcast community. Chills,
absolute chills. All right, Brian, anything
additional? Almost like when Billy announced that he had Section 21 tickets.
Oof, that was a chill.
Chills. Chills. All
right, anything else, Brian, before we roll out of here and get ready for After Dark.
Let's wrap this up. I love you.
All right. Love you too, my friend. Love all of you listening out there. We will be back on Sunday next week at 8:00 for our Patreon subscribers. We'll see you in about 15 minutes. Otherwise, have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.